Good evening. This is For the Record, program number 1116. Update on the Chinese winter and the coronavirus bio-psyop. This is being recorded live on Friday, February 21st of the year 2020. There are all kinds of things going on vis-a-vis the COVID-19, as this coronavirus has now been called or named. I'm going to do my best to update this very important phenomenon, which has political, profound economic, and some disturbing national security / medical implications as well. I am now convinced, actually I've been convinced for some time, that the COVID-19 coronavirus outbreak in China is what might be termed a bio-psyop, a form of hybrid warfare involving both weaponized media, online information, the spreading of a virus that may well have been genetically engineered, combined with what has been termed making the economy scream in the past, a technique used against both the former Soviet Union and in Chile. And the Chinese winter alludes to the Arab Spring. I believe this is a color revolution, as it has been termed, and a brilliantly executed form of hybrid warfare, a very sinister yet brilliantly executed form of hybrid warfare. I began this discussion with For the Record 1111 and have recorded many programs since. Now, in this show, we are going to be talking about the devastating effects of the virus on the Chinese economy, in turn the global economy. We are also going to be talking about the strain this is putting on the Chinese banking system. Now, Steve Bannon has been at the epicenter of the anti-China movement, as he noted, or as he was quoted in the New York Times article I have accessed in several shows, saying about China that either their system is going to survive or ours is going to survive. This is a zero-sum game. Now, Steve Bannon is associated with J. Kyle Bass, an extremely wealthy Dallas-based investor who has bet against the Chinese economy. He had previously made his fortune betting against the subprime mortgage situation, taking advantage of a bunch of the credit default swaps. Now, in turn, Kyle Bass has been spreading information about or making allegations about the coronavirus having been either deliberately and or accidentally spread by the Chinese military, the People's Liberation Army, or it's having escaped from a level 4 pathogen laboratory that is, in fact, in Wuhan. We have also noted that Kyle Bass is associated with the co-chairman of the Republican National Committee, a fellow named Tommy Hicks Jr. He has invested with Tommy Hicks Jr., may well be invested in connection with Hicks in connection with the asymmetrically positioned Chinese-related investments of J. Kyle Bass. Tommy Hicks Jr. Is very closely associated with Donald Trump Jr., Jared Kushner, and is a figure who has access to intergovernmental groups that combine the activities of several different branches of the government. several different government agencies, I should say, in connection with the anti-China effort, both commerce and national security-related agencies, including very possibly CIA. And they, among the things they have been working on, is how to squash Huawei and its aspirations vis-a-vis the 5G network. Now, J. Kyle Bass, in addition to being very positive, certainly he has been an investment partner of Tommy Hicks Jr., a ProPublica article which we will review. Features questions posed to Tommy Hicks. He did not deny that he was invested with J. Kyle Bass in his asymmetrically positioned investments vis-a-vis China. In other words, China goes down, his investments go up. J. Kyle Bass is, that is, he cut the conversation short when he was braced about that. I would note that J. Kyle Bass was brought in by Tommy Hicks to lecture to one of these inter-agency groups about the Chinese banking system, which is under a great deal of strain. We are also going to be talking about the Department of Justice that has charged Huawei with conducting economic espionage. They have previously alleged that the People's Liberation Army was behind an Equifax hacking attack. We have noted that CIA's cyber weapons are designed to, among other things, imitate or replicate or manifest as Chinese cyber weaponry. We are also going to talk about how the Department of Commerce is discussing the limiting or banning of many types of tech sales to China. Wilbur Ross has been heavily networked, as that ProPublica article demonstrates, with Tommy Hicks and J. Kyle Bass et al. The Department of State has weighed in. They have not only instituted the travel ban vis-a-vis China, but now the Department of State is calling Chinese media subversive in their activities and has imposed limitations or sanctions on Chinese media. This as part of the full court press strategy that I have spoken about. We are also going to be talking about some indications that this particular coronavirus may have been genetically altered. Unlike other coronaviruses in the past, this infects the upper respiratory system. It behaves much more like the flu. This against the background of experiments that were done in the U.S. that took the H1N1, I'm operating from memory, but the avian flu, modified it to infect ferrets, and the mutations that were so instituted made the ferrets capable of communicating the virus via respiratory activity. This particular coronavirus, unlike SARS, which infected deep lung tissue, and other coronaviruses which were present in stool or feces, this one is as well. This appears to behave much more like the flu. The fact that the avian flu was genetically engineered to infect ferrets, and that made that flu communicable by upper respiratory activity, that is a factor to be weighed in this. Again, the coronavirus is different from other coronaviruses, and there are other coronaviruses which produce pathology in human beings and others, but this appears to behave much more like the flu. We have noted in the past that there was a moratorium on testing these kinds of viruses because of the danger of their escaping. That was instituted in 2014 and lifted in 2017. inhibition, in 2019, these experiments have actually begun to, be reinstituted. So whether or not there is a connection between the upper respiratory flu-like nature of this coronavirus and the lifting of the ban and in implementation of experimentation with these kinds of viruses, that is what I call, this is an unappetizing metaphor, food for thought, and grounds for further research. Plunging right in, I'm going to do the best I can. Many listeners have done a great job fleshing out or coming up with information. In particular, Tara Fractal, our contributing editor. Also, another sharp-eyed listener noted that the country beside China with the largest incidence of this coronavirus was South Korea. A major South Korean city was described as being almost deserted in its center, and there was a church that was linked to the spread of this virus in South Korea. That church is a cult. It makes the Unification Church look like the Kiwanis Club. I will talk about it briefly. I may not have time to go into detail. In fact, probably will not. But that particular church called the Shincheonji, and I am probably mispronouncing that, Shincheonji, transliterated from Korean, the Temple of Tabernacle of Testimony. Again, it is a fascist mind control cult with, again, the cult leader basically claiming he is the Messiah, a guy named Mon. He lead. He is the Messiah. He is divine. Jesus, the age of Jesus is over with and all kinds of things. And he practices cult-like mind control on his subjects and has a fairly large following described as something like, I think, 200,000 worldwide. He also has been proselytizing in China. And it was that church that was the epicenter of the spread of this virus in that Korean city. So those are some of the things that we have on tap for this program. Now, beginning with the significant and destructive effects of this virus on the Chinese economy. From Bloomberg News of February 18th of 2020, Chinese companies say they can't afford to pay workers now. This is by Lulu Yilun, Y-I-L-U-N Chen, and Jinshan, J-I-N-S-H-A-N Hong. And this, of course, alludes to the economic damage that has taken place as a result of the Chinese authorities' precautions or the prophylactic measures they are taking to attenuate the spread of this virus. A growing number of China's private companies have cut wages, delayed paychecks, or stopped paying staff completely, saying that the economic toll of the coronavirus has left them unable to cover their labor costs. To slow the spread of the virus that's claimed more than 2,000 lives, Chinese authorities and big employers have encouraged people to stay home. Shopping malls and restaurants are empty. Amusement parks and theaters are closed. Non-essential travel is all but forbidden. And there are many examples of this. What's good for containment has been lousy for business, with classes canceled at a coding and robotics school in Hangzhou. Employees will lose 30% to 50% of their wages. The Lionsgate Entertainment World theme park in Zhuhai is closed, and workers have been told to use up their paid vacation time and get ready for unpaid leave. Skipping down. Across China, companies are telling workers that there's no money for them or that they shouldn't have to pay full salaries to quarantine employees who don't come to work. It is too soon to say how many people have lost wages as a result of the outbreak, but in a survey of more than 9,500 workers by Chinese recruitment website Xiaoping, more than one-third say they were aware it was a possibility. The salary freezes are further evidence of the economic hit to China's volatile private sector, the fastest growing part of the world's second biggest economy, and among small firms especially. It also suggests that the stress will extend beyond the health risk to the financial pain that comes with job cuts and salary instability. Unsurprisingly, hiring has all but ground to a halt. Xiaoping estimates that the number of job resumes submitted in the first week after the January outbreak was down 83% from a year earlier. The coronavirus may hit Chinese competition harder than SARS 17 years ago, unquote, said Chang Xu, C-H-A-N-G-S-H-U, chief Asia economist for Bloomberg Intelligence, and SARS walloped consumption, unquote, skipping down. With limited reserves and less by way of remote technologies, the smaller companies that underpin China's vast private sector are particularly vulnerable. Among broader efforts to help firms stay afloat, policymakers have called on state-run banks to make loans at cheaper rates to small businesses in particular. Now, about the strain this is putting on the Chinese banking system, and bear in mind, again, J. Kyle Bass, associated with Steve Bannon, who was at the epicenter of the anti-China effort. J. Kyle Bass invested in such a way as to be asymmetric to the Chinese economy. He is positioned to benefit if China's economy goes down. He has stated, by the way, that he does not hold any Chinese equities. That might well be the case. That does not mean, given the profound effects globally, that he would not stand to be asymmetric to a Chinese downturn, and there is certainly that, and maybe much more. Bear in mind that an apparent co-investor, Tommy Hicks, with J. Kyle Bass, is a major figure in the interagency governmental networks that are going after China. And he brought in J. Kyle Bass to lecture to these interagency government networks about the Chinese banking system. Now, from Reuters of February 20th of 2020, yesterday, China January new bank loans hit record, more policy support seen, this by Judy Hua and Kevin Yao of Reuters. New bank loans in China rose more than expected to a record high in January as authorities step up support for an economy hit by trade tensions. As authorities step up support for an economy hit by trade tensions and facing a new threat from a fast-spreading coronavirus outbreak. Chinese banks tend to front-load loans at the beginning of the year to get higher quality customers and win market share. Banks extended a record 3.34 million yuan or 476.42 billion in new yuan loans in January, up from 1.14 trillion yuan in December, and exceeding analyst expectations, according to data released by the People's Bank of China, or PBOC, on Thursday. Analysts polled by Reuters had predicted new yuan loans would rise up to 3.00 trillion yuan in January, compared with the prior record of 3.23 trillion yuan a year earlier, skipping down. Growth in the world's second biggest economy is slowed to 6.1% in 2019, the weakest pace since 1990, as demand at home and abroad slowed in part due to the Sino-US trade war. On Thursday, the PBOC cut the benchmark lending rate, the loan prime rate, LPR, as the authorities moved to lower financing costs for a business to help support the economy jolted by the virus outbreak. Skipping down again. Policy sources have told Reuters the government plans to roll out more support measures as the coronavirus epidemic, which has killed more than 2,100 people and infected over 74,000, is expected to have a devastating impact on first quarter growth. Over the past 2 years, Beijing has been relying on a mix of monetary and fiscal measures to weather the downturn, cutting taxes and issuing local government bonds to fund infrastructure projects while trying to spur lending, especially for small firms. The PBOC, again, People's Bank of China, has cut reserve requirement ratios 8 times since early 2018, with the latest reduction taking effect on January 6th. A sharp drop in corporate sales and cash flow by the outbreak is likely to put more stress on China's financial system, particularly small rural banks. A stress test by the PBOC last year said more than 13% of lenders were considered high risk, unquote. And again, J. Kyle Bass, co-investor apparently with Tommy Hicks, was called in by Tommy Hicks to lecture to the interagency governmental networks that were behind, or involved in, I should say, the push against China. Excerpting briefly an article that we read into the record, and this will be in the description for this show. For the record, 1111 and number 1112 go into this. From ProPublica of July 22nd of 2019, an article by Jake Pearson, P-A-R-S-O-N, want to meet with the Trump administration, Donald Trump Jr.'s hunting buddy can help. That is Tommy Hicks, who again is heavily involved with interagency and interagency governmental networks, including and especially national security-related government networks that are involved with the full court press against China. A couple of excerpts. Over the past 2 years, the Trump administration has been grappling with how to handle the transition to the next generation of mobile broadband technology. With spending expected to run in the hundreds of billions of dollars, the administration views it as an ultra-high-stakes competition between U.S. and Chinese companies, with enormous implications both for technology and for national security. Talks about Tommy Hicks as one of the main people involved with this. Tommy Hicks, Jr., 41, isn't a government official. He's a wealthy private investor, and he has been part of discussions related to China and technology from top officials from the Treasury Department, National Security Council, Commerce Department, and others, according to emails and documents obtained by ProPublica. In one email, Hicks refers to a meeting at Langley, an apparent reference to the CIA's headquarters. Hicks used his connections to arrange for a hedge fund manager friend, Kyle Bass, who has $143 million in investments that will pay off if China's economy tanks, to present his views on the Chinese economy to high-level government officials at an interagency meeting at the Treasury Department, according to the documents. Skipping down. Bass presented his views on China's banking system in the office of Heath Tarbert, T-A-R-B-E-R-T, an assistant secretary at Treasury in charge of international markets and investment policy, and a powerful intergovernmental committee that reviews foreign investments in the U.S. for national security concerns. Among the officials at the meeting with Tarbert were Bill Hinman, the director of the Division of Corporation Finance at the Securities and Exchange Commission, and Ray Washburn, a wealthy Dallas restaurant owner and family friend of Hicks, who was nominated by Trump to head the Overseas Private Investment Corporation. Hicks and Bass, both Dallas residents and longtime denizens of the financial community there, have invested together since at least 2011, according to securities filings and court records. But it is not clear if Hicks or his family have an investment in Bass's China-related funds. Reached twice on his cell phone, Hicks declined to be interviewed by ProPublica. In the second call in June, Hicks did not dispute that he and his family had invested in Bass's funds, but when asked to detail their business relationship, he cut the conversation short. By the way, again, Bass has stated that he no longer holds Chinese equities. That may well be. Doesn't say whether he shorted some of them. But given the profound global implications of this, one could very well be positioned to be asymmetric to the Chinese economy. In other words, one's investments go up if China goes down without being in Chinese equities. Skipping down again. Hicks' work on the 5G initiative was extensive. He was part of an informal group led by then MSC official Spalding that advocated for a strategy in which the federal government would plan out a national policy for 5G. Skipping down. That same month, Hicks attended a 5G meeting that he arranged with Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross. Well, Commerce plays a key role in the future of 5G since a division within the agency manages government spectrum and another maintains a list of companies that the government believes are or will become focused heavily on the threat of China, said Ira Greenstein. So again, note what is happening with the Chinese economy. Note the strain on the Chinese banking system. Note that Kyle Bass brought in by Hicks to lecture about the Chinese banking system. And note the apparently asymmetric investment by Mr. Hicks and very possibly by Mr. Bass and very possibly by Mr. Hicks as well. Now note again, I would say if the coronavirus had occurred in a vacuum, well, who knows? This did not occur in a vacuum. We have spoken in numerous shows about the MED and U.S. Intel cutout, being behind and having helped finance the individuals and institutions in the Hong Kong situation. We have also noted very powerful government officials, including Mike Pence and Mike Pompeo, networking with the same individuals. We have spoken about how the Uyghurs have been a focal point of destabilization in China for really since the early 1950s. And bear in mind that Trump initiated a trade war with China, and other things have happened as well. Note the following from the New York Times, Friday, January 31st of 2020, Mark Santora. Pompeo calls Chinese Communist Party the central threat of our time. Well, actually, the central threat of our time is not the Chinese Communist Party, although nominally communist China really would be better described as state capitalism. The central threat of our time is global warming. I will also note that Mike Pompeo is a protege of the Koch brothers, arguably the best or the most prolific financial angels of the climate change denial movement and heavily involved with fossil fuels. China, I would note, is the world leader in green technology, and that green technology could ultimately threaten the, or at least compromise the economic fortunes and fossil fuel investments of the Koch brothers, whose protege Mr. Pompeo is. Note the following, the State Department under Pompeo, New York Times, Wednesday, February 19th of 2020, by Laura Jakes, J-A-K-E-S, and Stephen Lee Myers. State Department labels Chinese news outlets as agents of Communist Party, and that will result in various kinds of crackdowns on the Chinese media. New York Times, Monday, February 17th of 2020, Anna Swanson and David McCabe. Limits on tech may hurt U.S. in longer run. The Trump administration's push to prevent China from dominating the market for advanced technologies has put it on a collision course with the same American companies it wants to protect. Now note Mr. Hicks and Mr. Bass, they're networking with Wilbur Ross, who has been celebratory vis-a-vis the coronavirus outbreak. Paul Krugman noted that he is incorrectly expecting business to return to the U.S. If, in fact, supply chains move from China, they will move to other third world countries. The concerns, said the same article, the concerns which have been simmering for months have taken on new urgency as the Commerce Department considers adopting a sweeping proposal that would allow the U.S. to block transactions between American firms and Chinese counterparts. Those rules, on top of new restrictions on Chinese investment in the U.S. and proposed measures that would prevent American companies from exporting certain products and sharing technology with foreign nationals, have the tech industry scrambling to respond. New York Times, Friday, February 14th, Valentine's Day, a week ago today, Friday, February 14th, 2020, David McCabe, Katie Bemmer, and Nicole Holm. U.S. charges that Huawei tried to steal trade secrets. And this, again, an allegation that Huawei was basically trying to steal trade secrets of U.S. tech firms. This is a Department of Justice move. Department of Justice is headed up by, quote, ex-unquote CIA officer William Barr. Very, very close, by the way, to the late George H.W. Bush, for whom CIA headquarters is named. And it was also the Department of Justice that alleged that the Equifax hack back in 2017 was performed by China. China denies that. I would point out, again, that vis-a-vis these various hacks, we are in a relativistic universe about that, because the CIA's cyber weaponry is designed to imitate both Russian and Chinese, as well as Iranian and Arabic cyber activities. So that obviously makes it past a point impossible for the layperson to make an objective determination. And indeed, cyber matters are very easily turned into cyber false flag operations. Even NSA can have a difficult time straightening those out. Now, note again that in 2012, there were experiments that turned the H5N1 bird flu virus, that it was modified to have it infect ferrets and airborne transmission between ferrets. That is a weasel-like mammal. Those experiments, the ban on experiments with viruses like that, according to Dr. Merkula, was lifted at the end of 2017. There is a linked article that says that that actually resumed in early 2019. The original 2012 study, and there are links that will be in the written description for this show, specifically found that it was mutations that gave the virus the ability to infect the upper respiratory tracts of the ferrets. That's what made it an airborne virus. There was a comment by Terrafractal, from which I had taken these articles, that has those links. That will be in the written description for the program. But note the following. This from Reuters of February 19th of 2020 by Julie Steenhuisen, S-T-E-E-N-H-U-Y-S-E-N. New coronavirus spreads more like flu than SARS, Chinese study. Now, this alludes to information that has been published in the New England Journal of Medicine. It reads in part, scientists in China who studied nose and throat swabs from 18 patients infected with the new coronavirus say it behaves much more like influenza than other closely related viruses, suggesting it may spread even more easily than previously believed. In at least one case, the virus was present even though the patient had no symptoms, confirming concerns that asymptomatic patients could also spread the disease. Although preliminary, the findings published on Wednesday in the New England Journal of Medicine offer new evidence that this novel coronavirus, which has killed more than 2,000 people, mostly in China, is not like its closely related coronavirus cousins. Quote, if confirmed, this is very important, unquote, said Dr. Gregory Poland, P-O-L-A-N-D, a virologist and vaccine researcher with the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota, who was not involved in the study. Unlike severe acute respiratory syndrome, or SARS, which causes infections deep in the lower respiratory tract that can result in pneumonia, COVID-19 appears to inhabit both the upper and lower respiratory tracts. That would make it not only capable of causing severe pneumonia, but of spreading easily like flu or the common cold. Skipping down again. Quote, what this says is clearly this virus can be shed out of the upper respiratory tract and that people are shedding it asymptomatically, unquote, Poland said. The findings add to evidence that this new virus, though genetically similar, is not behaving like SARS, said Christian, K-R-I-S-T-I-N, Anderson, an immunologist at Scripps Research in La Jolla, who uses gene sequencing tools to track disease outbreaks. Quote, this virus is clearly much more capable of spreading between humans than any other novel coronavirus we've ever seen. This is more akin to the spread of flu, said Anderson, who was not involved with the study. One more time. This virus is clearly much more capable of spreading between humans than any other novel coronavirus we have ever seen. This is more akin to the spread of flu, said Anderson. Question. Is this related to the adaptation of the H5N1 bird flu to infect ferrets? Because it was those mutations that made that a respiratory, basically an airborne communicable disease. Is there a connection? Again, there was a moratorium on the testing of these viruses, and that was lifted in 2017, apparently began proceeding forward by 2019. I will also note that in October of 2019, there was an exercise in New York City that talked about a coronavirus outbreak that would kill 65 million people worldwide. That was termed Virus X. I wonder to what extent that was something of a psychological precursor or driver, to coin the term, for what I have termed a bio-psyop, which is again, the combination of spreading a virus, which anyone could do, combined with social media and with mobile technology, is absolutely brilliant in terms of a conception for hybrid warfare. And the economic effects we have already spoken about. And the positions of people networked with Steve Bannon et al., with the activities I have already chronicled are now a matter of public record. I would also note that Pi doctors had developed a drug cocktail of two antivirals used to treat flu with some used to treat HIV that appeared very successful in treating patients in Thailand, although Agence France Press reported that, and although Reuters reported it, it has gone unreported in American media. The Chinese medical authorities have applied for a patent for an experimental antiviral remdesivir that is made by Gilead, an American pharmaceutical giant, and Robert Mercer, the financial angel of Steve Bannon. They have ostensibly broken, but I think that is simply to provide plausible deniability, the same with Trump's ostensible denials of Steve Bannon. Bannon was running a website he called the War Room vis-a-vis impeachment, and basically Bannon is now executing the will of Donald Trump, however, in a plausibly deniable fashion. I think the same thing is in all probability true of the relationship between Bannon and Robert Mercer, the brilliant investor who also was a financial angel of Cambridge Analytica and also Breitbart, and the one of the largest holdings of the brilliant Mercer's Renaissance Technologies is Gilead Pharmaceuticals. Given the size of the Chinese market, and given that this virus is present elsewhere, that is very significant and could make a lot of money for Robert Mercer. It will be interesting to see if someone has shorted out large numbers of stocks that would be exposed to a Chinese economic downturn. Something very similar happened on November 22nd, 1963, and in the run-up to September 11th, 2001. Now, another article about how this coronavirus is different. This from the Vox blog. February 21st of 2019, today, by Julia Belluz, B-E-L-L-U-Z. How does the new coronavirus spread? These new studies offer clues. Now, again, about the upper respiratory flu-like spreading of this virus. Respiratory illnesses generally fall into two categories: upper respiratory infections in the nose, pharynx, or larynx, like the common cold and seasonal influenza, and lower respiratory illnesses like pneumonia, which infect the lungs. The original SARS virus that spread around the world in 2003 was thought to be a lower respiratory infection. It replicated in the cells deep within the lungs and caused pneumonia. People also seemed to only spread the virus days into their illness when it was already clear they were sick. This made SARS more difficult to pass on to others and the job of containing it relatively easy. The new virus that causes COVID-19 disease appears to be a different beast. While it also can eventually lead to pneumonia, the virus does a great job of replicating in the upper respiratory tract, even when people don't have symptoms or just begin to feel sick. That is like the flu and the common cold, skipping down. Again, this virus is behaving much more like the flu, and the experiments which adapted avian flu to ferrets basically caused mutations that made this a respiratory communicable, or made the avian flu a respiratory communicable disease. That sounds similar to what we are seeing here. Skipping down. In a separate newly published New England Journal of Medicine paper, researchers in Germany were also able to isolate the virus from patients' upper respiratory tract even before they showed any symptoms or were very mildly symptomatic. More evidence of the potential for spread of the virus from the nose and throat when people barely know they're sick. So what does this imply about the contagiousness of COVID-19 and stopping the outbreak? Quote, for a virus pretty closely related to SARS, it shows very effective person-to-person transmission, something nobody really expected, said Stephen Morse, a professor of epidemiology at Columbia University Mailman School of Public Health, in a conversation with Vox. Researchers currently believe one infected person generally infects two or three others. And note the following. In this new paper from the Chinese Center for Disease Control and Prevention, researchers managed to isolate live virus from stool samples of COVID-19 patients, and they're not the first to find the virus in stool. And again, this maintains that apparently stool samples can spread the virus as well. Now, one of the things that I would note, the virus that was synthesized in 2008 in an American laboratory, a precursor of the coronavirus, which was a precursor of the SARS and MERS viruses, not only infected human lung tissues, but mice. If this, in fact, is a cross-species infection, in other words, if mice can also get it, it is believed to have come from bats. That would also be something that would be more than a little interesting. I wonder about the disinfectant that we have seen Chinese authorities or Chinese personnel spreading, spraying around. That would not neutralize a virus. It would, however, reduce pest, or basically could counteract pestilence, in other words, mice or something along those lines. Now, there was an article that hit the internet about a major city in Korea that had a huge outbreak, or what was described as a big outbreak. The sensational, my God, the sky is falling, let's call it Chicken Little journalism about this is one of the things I find most significant. The weaponized media coverage. And this particular outbreak was described as having caused basically the center of this large city in Korea to become deserted. A New York Times story about this from February 21st of 2020 by Cho, C-H-O-E, Sang, S-A-N-G, Hun. Shadowy church is at center of coronavirus outbreak in South Korea. Skipping down. Now, health officials are zeroing in on the church's practices as they seek to contain South Korea's alarming coronavirus outbreak, in which members of Shinjeonji, Shinjeonji, and their relatives account for more than two-thirds of the confirmed infections. On Friday, the number of cases in the country soared above 200, second only to mainland China. If the outbreak on the Diamond Princess cruise ship is excluded from Japan's count. And skipping down. As of Friday, more than 340 members of Shinjeonji, which mainstream South Korea churches consider a cult, boy, is that understatement, still could not be reached, according to health officials, who were frantically hoping to screen them for signs of infection. I will have a link to a website. Apparently this is a religious website of some kind, but there is a detailed accounting of the beliefs and history of the Shinjeonji, S-H-I-N-C-H-E-O-N-J-I, also S-H-I-N-C-H-O-N-J-I, depending on the transliteration. It is that the Temple of Tabernacle of Testimony. And this thing, this organization is way out there. And again, it is regarded quite correctly as a cult. It has apparently a worldwide membership figure that is estimated by some to go from 150 to 200,000 people. It is active in 13 different countries. And their practices would make the spread of such a virus very, very conveniently, it would be altogether convenient. The church was founded by a Korean religious leader named Lee Man-hee, and it was founded in March of 1984. He said this date has cosmic significance, and he is believed to be divine in, you know, he and his adherents believe that he is divine in nature. And quoting, skipping down in this on the TruthBuildersOnline.com website, Lee Manhee has a very exalted view of himself. He teaches that just as the Old Testament pointed to Jesus and was full of prophecies about him, so the New Testament points to Lee and has many prophecies about him. For example, in John's Gospel, Christ repeatedly referred to the Comforter or Counselor who was to come. Lee states clearly that he is the secret advocate and the Spirit of Truth, and goes on and on about this. A few highlights, or perhaps lowlights, of this organization. And again, this is the epicenter of this outbreak in Korea. The church maintains there is no Trinity. This is a false and devilish belief. Jesus is not God. The Holy Spirit is just one of many spirits in heaven. The SCJ, that church, is the only true church. All others are corrupt and evil. Since they see everything as symbolic in Scripture, they naturally see the new heaven and new earth as something spiritual. And you're basically supposed to believe in him and that church. If you're not, those who refuse will be destroyed. Anyone who opposes SCJ is a Satan and the Antichrist. Whoever listens to the teaching of ministers other than the promised pastor has received the mark of the beast. And supposedly the 144,000 spoken of in Revelation 7 and 14 refer to, you guessed it, the SCJ. And says even secular sources recognize the cultic nature of the group. They use cultic techniques, including sleep deprivation, excessive meetings and events, indoctrination, military-style exercise programs. The members are encouraged to avoid contact with others, including family, etc. Not only would a vehicle like this, would an organization like this, be magnificent in terms of using it as a vehicle for spreading such a virus. They congregate closely together on the floor, and for an organism of that kind, that would be a beautiful way to vector. Many of these cults are actually intelligence fronts. Apparently Korea has quite a few of them. A tip of the hat to a listener who found that for us. And again, that organization, I will post a link to that website. It makes the Unification Church look like the Kiwanis Club. Now, in just a few minutes here, because we're going to have Maybelline on, I want to note one of the things that I find most significant about this, and one of the things, aside from the circumstances I have already discussed, the weaponized coverage. The New York Times of Tuesday, February 18th of 2020, had an article by Alexandra Stevenson about Senator Cotton of Arkansas, claiming this is a Chinese biological warfare weapon, blah, 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 blah. Now, note the following. Although much remains unknown about the coronavirus, experts generally dismiss it. When this is experts dismiss it, this is the New York Times, CIA's number one propaganda asset, and the publisher of the Warren Report. Although much remains unknown about the coronavirus, experts generally dismiss the idea that it was created by human hands. Scientists who have studied the coronavirus say it resembles SARS and other viruses that come from bats. While contagious, so far, it appears to largely threaten the lives of older people with chronic health issues, making it a less than effective bioweapon. This is a tiny little nugget of accuracy in a sea of very obviously propagandized journalism. Again, I would call it chicken little journalism. Most people will experience this virus like an upper respiratory infection. So far in China, there are over 200,000 cases, 2,000 dead. In the U.S., 2 years ago, we experienced the most severe flu season in 40 years. I wonder if there was perhaps some sort of testing of some of the genes involved with this. Pure rumination. But 45 million Americans got the flu, and 80,000 of them died. We've been hearing, oh, my God, you can't go to the U.S. Americans shouldn't travel abroad. We got to quarantine people. We got to do this, blah, 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 blah. Nope, it was relatively mundane. And yet, the obsession on the part of American media, and the New York Times is just in pure Warren Commission mode. Before we wrap up here, this one edition of the New York Times, this from Tuesday, February 18th of 2020. The articles about the virus. Apple lowers sales forecast after outbreak. Well, if you shorted Apple stock, you could be making a lot of money. Who knows? Did J. Kyle Bass do that? Did Robert Mercer do that? Did Tommy Hicks do that? Who knows? But then, fleeing a ship only to fly home with a virus, about the cruise ship in Japan. Then you turn to the inside pages. On page A6, Beijing signals delay of its top Communist Party gathering about the virus. China, right next to that, on page A6, China activist who accused Z over virus is detained. Bottom of that, continuation of the article from the front page. Fleeing an infected ship, then flying with the virus. The next page, A7. Cambodia's coronavirus complacency may have global consequences. And at the bottom of that page, a family trapped in limbo. Now we are refugees, unquote. The next page, A8. European businesses take notice as tourists from China disappear. Again, the economic effects are remarkable. Bottom of that page, Alexandra Stevenson, that article, senator, repeats fringe theory casting virus as Communist Party weapon. Top of the next page, Apple lowers its sales forecast, citing impact of coronavirus in China, continued from the front page. Bottom of that page, campaign to block Huawei fails to persuade Europe as U.S. fumbles on alternatives. Again, that is one edition of the New York Times obsessing on this virus. And yet, if you look at that one article meant to dismiss theories that there were, this could be BW, it says, well, it's really not that bad in B, but isn't most people, as Nova Bene Rose thinks, op-ed column in the New York Times, will experience this as a mild respiratory infection. China has the largest population of cigarette smokers, 316 million. That would make them more susceptible. But most of the people who have died are older people, men in particular, who have other infections and or are chronically ill. The point being that in terms of overall severity, this really isn't that bad. Again, 45 million Americans get the flu in 2017, 2018. 80,000 die, but we're not hearing this, Chicken Little journal. We didn't hear Chicken Little journalism about that. And undoubtedly would be some, there are some very interesting questions to be asked. And looking at the maneuvering economically and the journalistic treatment and the unusual nature of this virus and some of the things that have taken place, like with the bird flu to ferrets and the upper respiratory flu-like nature of this, different from past coronaviruses, that is worth taking into account. This concludes For the Record program number 1116, update on the Chinese winter and the bio psyop. This is being recorded on February 21st of 2020. I'm Dave Emery. Have fun.